Thankful to come to your place of listening to this opportunity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to join together with you, gathering together around the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. And I do apologize again. I had another slice cut off my nose because of the remaining cancer. The first slice didn't get it all. And it looked so bad, I thought a Band-Aid would look better for you to look at than it would be to have that wound showing, although it needs to get air. Enough of that. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 1. Last Lord's Day, we looked at the end of the Sabbath in Matthew 28 and verse number 1. And we were looking at when the Sabbath ended, the Old Testament Sabbath ended, the new day, Sunday, the Lord's Day began. So something ended and something began. We want to back up two chapters now and go to Matthew chapter 26 in verse number 1 and see that Jesus finished his sayings and something happened then. There was a precise cutoff and a precise beginning. There was something, a precise event occurred when Jesus finished his sayings. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days, very precise, I'm going to stop public preaching now and I'm going to talk to y'all and I'm going to tell you that in 2 more days is the feast of the Passover and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. I want you to notice the combination of that. We as New Testament believers, New Testament Christians, New Testament Bible scholars, all of our life we know that the Passover speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these folks did not yet understand that. It had not happened yet. Yes, there had been many Passovers down through the centuries. They had celebrated Passover. They understood about Pharaoh and about Moses and about the blood on the door and about the death angel coming. But they didn't know what that meant. That was a type. That was a picture. That was a literal happening now of something that is going to spiritually take place. It's going to have to fall in sync. The Passover and the crucifixion of Christ have to come together. Can't be any other way. Jesus said that will happen in 2 more days. Very, very precise. Now, I want you to notice something in verse number 1. He said, notice those words, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said, what did he say? He said, 2 more days, and I am going to sink my crucifixion in with the Jewish Passover. We're going to put that together because that's all it was ever supposed to be to begin with. It wasn't the Jews' Passover. It was the Lord's Passover. They adapted it, and you will find in your Bible the words, the Jews' Passover. They had so commonized it that it was nothing but a religious date. It's just like we here recently celebrated Easter. Go get the daughter a new dress. Go get the boy some new shoes. Get out in the yard and hide colored eggs. I don't know what that's got to do with anything, but that's what we do. We have made it a common religious thing. That's what they had done. Jesus said, now I'm going to put this thing together and make you see that Passover is to sync with the crucifixion of the true Lamb of God. It's going to make sense now. All right. He said, now in verse number 3, then when Jesus had finished, there's a when in verse number 1 to show you the then in verse number 3. When Jesus had finished these sayings, he said, verse 3, then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, which is called Caiaphas. And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety, that is, secretly, and kill him. But they said, listen, he said in verse number 1, but they said in verse number 5, What did they said? They said the exact opposite of what he said. He said that Passover and my crucifixion are going to be together. What does verse 5 say? Religion says, but they said, not on the feast day. We're going to kill him. We are going to crucify him. We're going to have the Romans crucify him, but we don't want it done on the feast day. God Almighty, since Exodus chapter 12, over there in the Old Testament days, Exodus chapter 12, has said that this is going to be the Lamb of God. This is going to picture the Lamb of God. His blood is going to be put on your house. And when the death angel comes to destroy the Egyptians, I'm going to pass over you. That's what it means. It's a very practical term. We just say Passover. It's just like the Roman Catholics say Christmas. What are they saying? The Christ Mass. And they put it all together. And we just say Passover. No, it means when I see the blood, I will pass over you and not kill you. So we need to, as Christians, understand we don't have a lamb to tie up on our front porch for 14 days and feed it and keep it clean and wash it and inspect it so that on that 14th day we can kill it and smear blood all over our door. Who wants to do that? Smear blood all over your door? Well, we don't. Because that's not the meaning of Passover to the Christian. The Passover is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, slain on the very day of Passover to make it have some meaning. That's why Passover has meaning, is that Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:29, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, I saw as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9? Let's see. Revelation 5 and verse number 9. And they, the church, sang a new song. Hadn't been sung before. Redemption had not been completed before. Nobody can sing this song. The joy of singing is not in the heart of anybody because their sins have been passed over. Hadn't happened yet. Now it's going to happen. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why? For, because thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood. We can sing a new song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not doing better. It's not joining a church. Might as well join a club of some kind. If you think joining the church is going to save you, it's not. It's the application of the blood of the Lamb of God to your soul by faith that cleanses you. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Now listen, what do you mean by Passover? It means that the Lord's going to kill the Egyptians, but he's not going to kill the Israelites. That's what the meaning of the word Passover is all about. Listen. By thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We are involved in spiritual Egypt, the world. We are involved in the world of unbelievers. Some of them are highly religious, but they're lost. They don't know God from third base. We're in the middle of all that. How are you going to keep from going to hell with the rest of religious America? God's going to pass over me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has made the application of the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ to my soul by faith. I didn't get one single drop of blood put on my face. God didn't put one drop of blood on my hand. There was not any blood literally involved when I was born from above. But the application of the Lamb of God's blood was made by faith. And we believed and do still believe that it is the blood of the Lamb of God that cleanses me from all my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. The flow of what? The blood of Jesus that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know that can cleanse me. I can, you know, I can't jump into a river and be cleansed before God and go and escape hell and go into eternal glory by washing of water. No, but it's the washing of the Lamb's blood. But we don't sacrifice lambs. God has already done it. And what we do is believe in the work of God Almighty that He hath done. This has already been done. Now, the devil is going to try to mess this up. It says, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said, in 2 days, the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. The crucifixion of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be in conjunction with Passover. That's the only reason Passover is ever going to have any meaning to the Christian. It was when God made the application of the blood of the Lamb of God and washed me in the Lamb's blood, and I received it by faith. Nothing in my hand I bring. I can't do anything or be anything to be accepted with God, but it's the Lamb's blood that did it. Aren't simply in thy cross I cling. Jesus paid it all. So I come now to believe in that which was typified by an actual event. Blood being shed, smeared on the doorpost and on the lintel. Angel of God comes over to get God's people out of Egypt. Picture of God's sending the Holy Spirit to get God's people out of the sinful world. God brings death. The application of the blood brought death to the Egyptians, brought life to the Israelite. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached to Americans or any nation. Those who receive it and believe receive deliverance from sin and deliverance into eternal glory. Those who do not, although they hear the same words, maybe sitting in the same pew, in the same church as others did, and they don't believe it, he that believeth not is condemned already. So it brings death to those Egyptians who stay in the world and stay worldly. But those who receive the Lamb's blood of the Lamb's blood applied by the Holy Spirit, they say, Lord, I am now dead to myself. I will be alive only to God. I'm leaving the world. I am going to sojourn into the land of promise. I am going to follow God's man leading me where God would have me to go. Revelation 14:4, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Where you been going, Christian? Following the Lamb. What have you been doing? Obeying the Lamb. How do you walk? By faith. How do you know that you're doing what is right? Because I'm following only the only right one there is, and the only shepherd, and the only application of redemption that God's ever given to man, the blood of the Lamb of God. So he said the Passover and Christ's crucifixion is going to be on the same day. Verse 5, Matthew 26, they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. We don't want no problems. So here's Satan working in the religious minds, the scribes and Pharisees and the high priest, and they want to kill Jesus secretly, but not on the Passover. God is going to have this thing done openly. The Apostle Paul said, "O noble Felix, this thing, as you well know, was not done in a corner. It was not done in secret." Acts chapter 26 and verse 25. Let me read that to you. The book of Acts, chapter 26 and verse 25. The scriptures say, if I can turn to the right page, 26 and 25. He said, "But he said, I am not mad, most noble Felix, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Verse 26 of Acts 26. "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from thee, for this thing was not done in a corner." What does that mean? It was not done secretly. Satan would have had it done secretly. Satan would not have allowed it to be done on the day of Passover. Jesus Christ finished his sayings, and the last thing he says to them is, "You know that Passover is coming, and that's the day that the Son of God and the Son of Man, one and the same person, is betrayed to be crucified." Dear soul, this shows you the absolute sovereignty of Almighty God. And I want you to know something. It doesn't matter what the rulers, whether political, financial, religious, whoever they are, military, whatever's going on in this world, it looks like, it's, as somebody said, it's going to hell in a handbasket. And it is. I've never seen such a mess. But don't you worry about it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God has his secret sovereign will that will be made manifest, and nobody can change it. Again, Revelation 13:8, "As a lamb slain from the foundation of the world." God has had this thing set up before there was an A-T-O-M Adam, much less an A-D-A-M Adam, and it's going to be like God says it is. And Jesus Christ finished his sayings, and he said unto his disciples, Passover and crucifixion going to happen the same day. But they said, after he finished, then assembled, I'm reading Matthew 26:3 again. "Then assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas." They had a new high priest every year. This one was named Caiaphas. And had a new high priest constantly, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety. "We're just going to do it on the quiet. Don't tell nobody. But I'm going to tell you another thing. Not only is it not going to be known, but it definitely won't be on Pentecost." That's what the devil said. All right? Let's find out who is God. Who is going to have his will in his way? Is it going to be little Jesus, meek and mild? Had to borrow a donkey to get a ride. Had to get on a cloud to get back to heaven. His food and his clothing and all was contributed to him constantly by the women that followed him. And here he was. He did not have a permanent place to lay his head. The foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but he don't have no place to lay his head. How is he going to have his will when all these mighty religious forces have come together and have gotten a traitor inside the apostles of Jesus Christ to work with him? How in the world is he going to have his way? By one reason: he is God. I want you to understand something. This world's in a mess. Everything's going wrong. But don't look at the world. While we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. Spiritual things with a spiritual eye. For the things which are seen are just temporary. That's just the devil blowing off steam. That's just the devil trying to act like he's in control. And he said to Jesus, if you'll cast yourself down, I'll give you these kingdoms of the world because they're mine to give. You lying devil. And that's what he is. He's the devil and he's lying. So he's a lying devil. It's not his to give and he can't give it anyhow. It's not his. Listen, little Christian, quit worrying. Be careful for nothing. What does that word careful mean? You mean you shouldn't look both ways when you cross the street? Absolutely you should, especially around Atlanta. You'll be a greasy spot if you don't watch out. But that's not what it means. That word means be anxious for nothing. What are you all worked up in a sweat for? God's in control. He has been all the history of man. Nobody has ever been able to stop God or say, what doest thou? And say, I'm going to stop his hand, or as the King James said, stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? Why? Because they're not God and he is. I know that you watch the news, you'll get depressed. But we've got news from a far country. And it will encourage you. That's what my job is. My calling is to come over here and to bring you an encouraging message straight from heaven and tell you, don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about how things look. The Bible said, when Jesus had finished all his say, when he gets through with his public ministry, he's going to say, all right, now we're going to put it into gear and let out the clutch. This thing's going to happen. He saith, Passover is coming in 2 days. 1, 2. That's the precise number of days. And he says, and that's when I will be crucified. Here comes Passover. How many more days we got? 2. Here comes Jesus Christ fixing to be crucified and satisfy God and redeem fallen man. How many more days we got? 2. 2 to Pentecost, 2 to crucifixion. It's going to be like God says, even though everybody from the Pope all the way down, from the Pope to the preacher, they say, ain't going to happen. It's going to be done quietly in a corner. We're not going to let anybody know. We're going to kill him. Dear soul, God the Father is the only one can offer Jesus Christ. He hath made him, you know, to be a sacrifice. Not you and not the devil and not religion. God did it. And it will be how God wants it to be. It will not be in a corner. Everybody's going to know it. Even the two that's going the wrong way on the road to Emmaus say to the Lord himself, art thou but a stranger in Israel and knoweth not these things, how this great prophet has been put to death? Everybody knew it. But the priests and scribes and all of them said, shh, don't tell nobody. We're going to kill him on the sly. No, you're not. And we're definitely not going to let it happen on Passover. Ooh, they was wrong in both cases. Can we go over to Luke chapter 22 and see Luke's account of this same exact situation? Luke 22, verse number 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called what? Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. That's where they went wrong. If you get to fearing something more than you fear God, you're in trouble. They feared the people. So that's going to govern how they think they're going to kill the eternal Son of God. Isn't that amazing? So they determined that they're going to kill Jesus, going to do it quietly, and we're not going to do it on Passover. Listen, verse 3, here's another character I want you to have introduced to you. Luke 22:3. Then entered Satan into Judas. You see what's working behind the scenes? Matthew didn't say that. We know it's true. But you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, the eternal purposes of God. This thing is laid out. Paul stood on Mars Hill and said, God hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of thy habitation. In other words, when this is going to happen and where it is going to happen has been absolutely locked in by Almighty God, and nobody can change it. Satan's going to try. And their people are so foolish that they think that they're going to destroy the things of God, and they're not. You keep believing in Jesus. He had never let you down. Don't you ever let him down. You keep trusting in the Lord with all thy heart. Don't even lean to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Not what the newspaper said. Not what the Pope said. Not what religion says. Not what the people, the pundit, political pundits say. What the majority of public opinion is. Quit looking at the polls. Well, 63% believe it. I don't care what 100% believe. If it ain't what God said, it ain't going to happen. The just shall live by the newspaper. No. The just shall live by the TV news. No. The just shall live by public opinion. No. Brother Gene, quit doing that and say it right. Okay. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. And so on it goes. And it even says that by faith, Moses. Listen, I hope I can find it real quick. Here it is. By faith, Moses, Hebrews 11:24, and read on down, By faith, verse 28 of Hebrews 11, he kept the Passover. What? Yeah, that's done by faith. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, you got to go tell all these people. You go buy you a lamb. You keep him up. Don't let him eat anything, disgusting. Clean him inside and out. Let him be a perfect lamb. No blemishes, no spot, no wrinkle. Then on a certain day, you kill him in the evening. That's when Christ was crucified. It all falls into exact place. You would think God did it because it's perfect. God did do it, and it is perfect. It's exactly how God told them to do it, and it happened all these thousands of years later. How did Moses know to do this? He's got to go tell all these hundreds and thousands of Israelites, here's what I want you to do. There's never been a time like this in Egypt. It's going to be different from anything else. I want you to understand. I know the water has turned to blood. I know that we've had lice. I know that we had frogs. You'll have to excuse me. Sometimes this wound starts acting up and I have to take care of it. Anyhow, I know we've had all this other stuff that's happened. But this is going to be the most unusual night in the history of the world so far. Now, don't be afraid. Get you a lamb. Make sure it's without spot or blemish. You kill him in the evening. You fix him this particular way. And if your little family can't afford a lamb, then you two families get together and both of you buy one lamb and you share it. And you cook it this particular way and you eat it dressed like this. And you make sure you've got your staff in your hand, and you make sure that mama's got her bread bowl with everything she can put in it ready to go, and get all the jewels and all the diamonds and all of the bracelets and earrings and gold you can find in Egypt, and have it ready, because this night you're going to be taken out of Egypt. Wait a minute, we don't have an army. We don't have any knives and swords. We're just a bunch of slaves, farmers, and, you know, we're just workers, hourly wage workers. We build stuff for Pharaoh. We make brick. You're going to be delivered. Well, you're not supposed to be a trained army. God is your army. So I want you to know that by faith, Moses has got to go tell these people, and dear soul, you better know you've got a message from God. If you go tell all these people something, forgive me, Lord, that sounds as silly as this does. How are you going to kill all these Egyptians? We're not going to kill any of them. Well, how are you going to get delivered? God's going to get us out of here. Well, how's God going to do it? By giving you one of the most perfect and precious pictures of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of the pure lamb's blood that you will ever know, and you will be able to hold on to it for hundreds of years all the way down through history until Jesus has finished his sayings. And he looks at him and says, let me get it again before I forget it. He says, finished all his sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. It's all going to be one and the same. You're going to have to practice Passover all these years, all the way down till the actual Passover takes place. The actual Passover comes to pass. That's what he said. Christ is our Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't want to forget this, though. Hebrews 11, 28. Through faith, Moses kept the Passover. Through faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We're going to have to pad ourselves, as it were. We're going to have to cover ourselves, as it were, so that this death and destruction that's coming into Egypt doesn't touch us. Dear soul, the Bible said Jesus was going to, number one, destroy him that had the power of death, and number two, deliver them all in one fell swoop. How's it going to happen? Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. By the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. That one thing is going to destroy all of Satan's intents. Excuse me. And it's going to provide for us all of our hopes and redemptive works in Jesus Christ. This one thing. But you better make sure that you're covered, because uncovered, that death will get you just the same as it will them. So he says, through faith he kept the Passover, and through faith he kept the sprinkling of blood, unless he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Dear soul, the only reason that you are going to be able to escape hell and maybe somebody you love, maybe somebody in your family is not going to be able to, is not because you're any different from them. Maybe they had the same pedigree you did. Maybe their mama is your cousin or your mama's cousin or whatever. You're just like them. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What makes you different? Faith in the Passover. Faith in the blood of the Lamb. Dear soul, I don't care if they were baptized in the same baptism pool in the same church on the same Sunday you were. If they don't have the blood of the Lamb of God by faith, and you do, there's going to be an entirely different outcome. Moses, through faith, kept the Passover, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Every firstborn from the palace of Pharaoh out to the barn was killed, except those that had the blood applied to them. And Jesus said, I want you to understand something now. The Passover and the crucifixion of God's Lamb is one and the same thing. 2 days comes the Passover. 2 days comes the crucifixion of Christ. Dear soul, you need to keep on believing. You need to keep on blessing God that God has granted you the gift of faith that you might believe in the only thing that will give you the singing of the new song. They sang a new song. Why? It had never been written before. It had never been sung before. What is that new song? Thou art worthy because thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of everything else. What makes you, who live right there close to the Egyptians, maybe a street over from them, what made you think you, excuse me, that you were able to escape the death that was going to come to the Egyptians' firstborn son? What makes your firstborn any better than theirs? Nothing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who made the difference? God. What made the difference? The Passover lamb's blood and faith in it. What makes the difference? Maybe you had a favorite cousin, but they may not mock at you for your Christianity, but they don't really think there's anything to it, and they don't want to have anything to do with your dedication to Jesus. Dear soul, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And you're going to have to say goodbye to that favorite cousin one day, as they're cast into outer darkness, and there's going to be one thing that made the difference between you and them. It's not that they wasn't as smart as you. It's not that they was not as good looking as you. It's not that they didn't have the same benefits in life that you did. One thing made the difference. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Through faith, Moses kept the Passover, kept the sprinkling of blood. The blood was applied. He didn't just keep the Passover and say, well, let's eat this lamb. Make application of the blood. Lest. That means unless, dear soul, he that destroyed the firstborn, that's the same God you trust in, he's going to destroy their firstborn. It's going to be horrible. They're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it's going to be the same God that delivered you that destroyed them. Dear soul, listen, I'm going to tell you again. You need to be careful about worrying about the things of this world. I don't care what the world is saying. I don't care how many lies are being told. I don't care how many mean, cruel, ungodly dictators there are, murdering and slaughtering people, it doesn't make any difference. You keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, I've never seen his seed forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. Jesus said, not a single one of my people is lost. He told the Father that. He's already reported to the Father about you. None of them is lost, Father, except the son of perdition. And that's so the scriptures could be fulfilled. That's Judas Iscariot. But none of them is lost. God is going to take care of you. But you owe God one thing. Faith in the blood of the Lamb of God. I don't care what the people at work or in your family or your neighborhood, what they trust in. Oh, look, the stock market's going up. I don't care if it goes up or down or sideways. Dear soul, that's not where my hope lies. My hope lies in nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Jesus cannot fail. Jesus will not fail. So don't be anxious for anything, whether it's COVID or whatever it may be. You trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Because when he says, Passover will be the day of the crucifixion, they're one and the same, and Passover will not be done quietly and in a corner. It's exactly how it's going to be, and God will destroy all of his enemies by the same work of Jesus Christ on the cross as he saved all of his people, the same exact thing. Let me read you something. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Second John chapter 2. I always do that. Is that what I want? No, I always do this too. It's not 1 John, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You better be glad that the Lord's your pastor. Listen. In the book of Corinthians, I'll get it in a minute. Just be patient. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I finally found it. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Paul said, every time I get up and preach, I triumph in Christ. Well, what did he do? Just knock it out of the park. He was really a great preacher. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the effect of the gospel that he preaches and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. I always triumphed, and the odor and aroma of the knowledge of him is by us in every place. Now, what does he mean? Verse 15, 2 Corinthians 2. For we are unto God. You may not be unto the people that you preach to, but you will be unto God a sweet aroma, a sweet fragrance of Christ. Why? Because God is not just using the gospel to get people into heaven. God is bringing all humanity, every single soul that's ever lived in this entire universe, to bow before his son and to acknowledge him one way or another. Listen, for we are a sweet fragrance of Christ, both in them that are saved and in them that perish. This is God's Passover. He will do with it what he wills. He will kill all the Egyptians firstborn, and he will save everybody that has faith in the sprinkling of the blood. God will pass over them. In them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, We are the fragrance of death. I imagine that that was the most horrible night that had ever transpired in Egypt. I don't imagine there was ever another night like that that the Egyptians had ever known. I imagine that when old Joseph was there and saving their life and sustaining the bread, the staff of bread for them, it was a glorious thing. I imagine they had seen some people starve, but nothing was as bad as this was, because there wasn't a cow or a horse or a sheep or a donkey or a human being or a slave or a king that didn't have their firstborn dead. There wasn't a single, there was no cry like this in all of Egypt. For unto the one we are the aroma of death, and to the other we are the aroma of life. And if you got to be involved in that, the question you got to ask yourself, who is sufficient for these things? Go preach the gospel, he told me back in 1970. Yeah, that'll be great. Everybody's going to like me. We're going to see people get saved and everybody's going to be happy. That ain't exactly how it turned out. That's not what God really meant. He said, go present me as a God who despises evil and God who loves righteousness. And those who will not come out of their evil and their ungodliness, they're going to have God to reveal himself to them as a savor or aroma of death. Hell is God's hell, just as much as heaven is God's heaven. And dear soul, God being the same as he is in all of his glory and holiness, he cannot love righteousness if he does not equally hate iniquity. That's the way it is. So we see that the one, he is the aroma of death unto death, and to the other, he is the aroma of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things? And in verse 5 of the next chapter, it says, our sufficiency is of God. You can't do this. And Christian, you can't abide understanding and knowing the sovereignty of God in his sovereign hatred for sin if you don't understand and know that God is sufficient in these things for it in you. The Passover. God made a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Let me see if I can find that verse for you. In the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus. It lets you understand and know that there is a difference. In Exodus chapter 11. It said, about midnight in verse 4, I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. There was never a day like this. At midnight, everybody in Egypt was crying. The cow was bawling because its calf was dead. The donkey was braying because its offspring was dead. The servants were crying because their children were dead. The Pharaoh, the rich people, the senators, the finer people, they were bawling. And it says, but, verse 7 of Exodus chapter 11, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Can you get a dog to stop wagging his tongue? No, you can't. God said, I can. And I am going to fix it that while all that is going on with the sorrow and the horror of Egypt, at the same time, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know. Listen now, that ye may know. I'm reading Exodus 11:7. That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between Israel, the Egyptians, and Israel. The Lord doth put a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. That's what God said. In verse 22 of chapter 8 of Exodus, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. That wasn't as bad. We got flies everywhere but in Goshen. I'm going to show you the difference. But you keep on hardening your heart and not letting my people go. I'm going to do something that is going to make you let my people go. And I am going to couple it together with a great death on the day of Passover. And that's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. He said, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And they said, we ain't going to let it happen. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. And we read you in Luke 22, where they said, let me finish reading this. I didn't finish reading it. Let's finish out with this. Luke 22, verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way. He didn't go God's way. He went his way and communed with the chief priests and captives, how he might betray Christ him unto them. And they were glad. The one thing that makes religionists glad is for somebody to deny Jesus and come on into their ungodliness and practice their wickedness with them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. He promised something he couldn't deliver, but it made them glad. God said, you promote this lie, I will let you rejoice in a lie. Judas is going to tell you that we're going to be able to carry out what we want. We're going to be able to kill Jesus, and ain't nobody going to know about it. Jesus said, I'll give that to you. Give me some more money. And they did. But if you'll look on down to verse number 47 of the same chapter, Luke 22, in Luke 22:6. In the absence of the multitude, Judas promised him. Look at verse number 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Didn't work out so good. It ain't going to be on Pentecost. Yes, it was. Why? Because they didn't want it? Nope. Because God did want it. It's going to be on Pentecost. It's going to be like God said it was. Dear soul, you need to side with God. You need to stay with God. You need to believe in God. You need to trust in God. You need to obey God. You need to walk with God. You need to pray to God and ask him that he might give you hearing ears and following feet. Because Judas said, we're going to do it on the sly. Ain't nobody going to know. But when he went to betray him, a multitude went with him, just like God said. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. The Lord is going to have his will, dear soul. The Lord is having his will. He's not going to have his will. He's having his will right now. You say America is getting more and more wicked. That's the will of God. You stay out of it. Wait and see where it's going to lead them. My soul. Let me read you something and we'll quit. Revelation 8, verse number 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, and when the Lamb of God had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. And guess what happened? Look on down to verse number 6 of Revelation 8. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. These seven trumpets are going to bring in these horrible plagues and these judgments against the peoples who will not walk with God. What was the first thing that happened? Silence in heaven. Let all the earth keep silence before him. What was the next thing that happened? All judgment broke loose. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." God stopped talking. And then, as we say, all hell broke loose. The seven angels began to lick their lips and get ready to blow their trumpets and bring forth these judgments that were upon the earth and upon those who would not walk with God. Let me read you one more verse. Revelation 11:7. "And when they shall have finished their testimony," silence. When Jesus finished speaking, Pentecost broke loose. Listen. "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." God's going to say, "There's going to be a day when I'm going to stop talking. And then I'm going to let hell come on top of the ground." Excuse me, folks. Hell's going to come on top of the ground. Silence in heaven, Revelation 8:1. All the judgments break loose as the seven angels begin to blow the trumpets and sound the judgments of God upon the earth. Revelation 11:7. Once the gospel age is over with, and you find this in Revelation 20 and verse 7, when this has expired, the little season breaks loose. There's going to be a day when this has expired. I don't like misquoting that. I know it's time to go. Revelation 20. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." Dear folks, where can you hear the gospel so frequently and so freely broadcast in America anymore? You can't find it. What does that mean? It means when Jesus finished his sayings, he said, "Here comes Passover, and God's going to be crucified. And now shall the world be judged. He shall destroy him that had the power of death." That is the devil. Better be careful, folks. You're living in a very, very dangerous time. May the Lord bless you. We'll try to look at more of this in our second lesson. And thank you for attending it with us. God bless you.